What up, sisters? It's Nat, and today it's a very, very special day because we're launching our very first You Go Sisters podcast interview. Okay, that just quickly needed to get out of my system. I'm just so excited to have you guys on board, that you guys found us on the You Go Sisters podcast, that you're with us on this journey, this adventure, this path, whatever you want to call it. We're so stoked to get to know you, to learn about you, to maybe have you on the podcast. Who knows? Anything is possible at this point. So let's just step into this journey together with our first step and do this. As you maybe have already heard in our introduction episode, or maybe even the interviews Kat and I did, that the topic of transformation is a very relevant topic for all of us at You Go Sisters, because transformation is basically just a different word for change. And that's what we want to do with You Go Sisters. So we thought about, who do we want to talk to in our first episode? And immediately for me, our guest today came up because she made this subject to her life's purpose. Verena Zeip is an internationally certified coach, and she works with transformational coaching, which means she explores patterns of behavior, belief systems, and she always tries to stretch beyond the comfort zone for sustainable growth. She's internationally certified, which is awesome. She does her coaching sessions in German and in English. I did this over COVID with her. It was amazing. I can only recommend it. It's practical. It's challenging. It's vulnerable. It's uncomfortable at times, but it's also comfortable because she's such a great person. She makes you feel safe in every way. You can just trust her completely. I mean, yeah, it was easy for me because, as you'll hear in a few minutes, her and I, we go way, way back. We grew up together. So we're just super excited to have her on board. If you want to learn more about Verena, you can go on her website, www.seippcoaching.com, Zeip Coaching, or you can also find her on Instagram at Zeip, Seipp Coaching. And if you want to learn more about the You Go Sisters platform, you can always go on www.yougosisters.com or find us on Instagram at You Go Sisters. But I'll put all of this information and also everything Verena talks about in the description. So why don't you just lean back and relax, or maybe you're out for a run right now, have a nice breath together. This is how Verena likes to start her coaching sessions as well. Maybe you want to do that right now. Start. I need it, because right now, as you can hear, I'm so excited. I am talking way too fast. But yeah, wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your very, very first podcast. Let's just take a quick breather together and enjoy the show. Well, here we go. Let's do this. Well, welcome. This is our very first episode on the You Go Sisters podcast. It's my very first episode ever hosting-wise, and I feel this is your first podcast as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, today we have Verena with us. She is an amazing human being, perfect, beautiful soul. Verena and I... Oh my God, how long have we known each other? Ever since...
I think babies. Since you were born. Yeah. Yeah.
Pooped in the diaper. Yeah. So, we go way back. Yeah. And Verena and I, we're going to talk about the topic we wanted to start all of this off with, which is transformation.
Yes.
Yeah. So first of all, how are you, Verena? Like, where are you at right now? How's life? How are you feeling?
Well, I'm going to start with a simple... geographic stuff. Yeah. I'm in Frankfurt, where I live and was actually born in as well. I'm here. It's sunny. The apartment's staying relatively cool, which I'm thankful for because it's a bit warm these days, but we don't want to complain about the weather, do we? So I'm doing really well. I'm very excited to be on the podcast, and it is my first ever podcast, and I'm so glad that it's with you. And on such a wonderful topic. And I am just, yeah, in general, excited, eager to share some info with the listeners and, yeah, see how this awesome. Goes.
Yay! Well, I mean, why don't we just like dive in it fully? So we have the topic transformation, which is a big topic for you right now because, well, I mean, I feel like we always go through transformations in our life, but you just like made this into a very big part of your life. Do you maybe just want to quickly talk about what transformation means to you, what part in your life it's taking right now, and why you chose this path?
So I think in general, we all have this kind of idea around transformation. At the very least, we have this idea around it that it's something like a metamorphosis, something changes. And for me, that's kind of the core of it is it's change, but it tends to be really profound change. So for me, I guess I experienced it a few years ago for myself, really consciously for the first time. And it was almost that call to change that was the first step into it. So I guess I can talk a little bit about my journey here at this point.
Yeah, love that.
I mean, I think just maybe before I jump into that, I do think in terms of assumptions that we have with transformation and with change in general, is that it's like this boom, we're going from caterpillar to butterfly and it's like a 2 second thing and here we go, fireworks, But at least in my experience, and I feel like with anyone that I've talked to, when it comes to change, when it comes to transformation, it's really a process. And the reason it is, again, is because it goes back to the fact that it's a profound change. And we do have moments of kind of realization that either change is happening, change has happened, or change needs to occur. But yeah, it's not, I mean, those are kind of like those aha moments, but you don't really have, in my experience, this like, snap, boom, crackle.
Everything's different.
Everything's different.
New skin. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a process. And for me, this journey that I've been on started about 2.5 years ago. And I think if we look back a little bit further, and sharing a bit about my life, I definitely fit into that category of, I'm using air quotes here, a good student, a good daughter, a good sister, good friend. Of course, for all of us, that's a different definition. But for me, for a while, I used it as kind of, I guess it turned into shackles in a way, because I thought that this path that I had chosen, both, for this role as a friend, as a, sister and all of that, as well as my role in business and in my work that I did, I chose this path and now I need to stick with it. So
Yeah,
I was
it's like
very
an
much like,
ultimatum.
exactly. It was like this, I've chosen it, which, like many of us, I chose when I was 19, 20.
And at that point, we
And
know everything, right?
exactly. We're such brilliant masterminds. We know everything in that age. And not to the listeners that are in that age, like not to make your experiences small by any means, because we do have really profound experiences in our teenage years and in that age. But I have definitely learned that, especially in the paths that we choose, whether it be work-wise or in any situation, nothing is really permanent. So I didn't have that perspective at that time. So like 2.5 years ago, I just recognized, that I was in a job that I really enjoyed. I really did, but it was taking over my life. I didn't find the balance. I didn't have support around me that kind of helped me see more clearly what was going on. And yeah, I definitely went beyond my boundaries in terms of how much I wanted work to play a part in my day-to-day life. And I had this transformational moment, or this really just inspirational moment with a family friend. And we were out for dinner, which we did kind of ritually, like every couple of months. She just asked me how things were going, and I was telling her, the usual spiel about, well, yeah, work's okay, I really like it, but I'm working really long hours, like I'm finding like
But it's
I'm working a
fine.
bit on weekends, but it's fine, everything's great. I chose this path, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then, but the more I kept talking about it, I was contradicting myself. And she asked me a really powerful question, a really simple question, which was like, well, what do you want to do about all of that? And in this moment, it was like this tidal wave that came over me, or like out of me. I like couldn't stop it. And I just said, I want to quit. I was like, huh?
Word vomit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was complete word vomit. And I was like, I didn't think that this is what I was feeling. And for me, that was the start of a really big change, because I listened to myself. I started thinking more about what did I really say, and did I really mean that, and is this really mm-hmm. what I want to do? And so I sat with it for a bit, mainly with myself, but also talking to others around me, people that I'm close with. And I decided to leave my job, you know, an industry that I'd been working in for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
which was also like a really rushed industry, right? Like there was a lot of pressure going
yeah.
on, long nights, long days, a lot of travel involved as well.
Exactly. And I mean, it's, I was working in advertising and in marketing for all those years, and it is, it's a really fast paced industry. It is, you know, you're, client service at the end of the day, which is another very complex issue, is creating boundaries for yourself, creating balance yeah. for yourself in that world, is a bit of a challenge. But yeah, it was a very, you know, very fast paced world. And I did have a lot of things that I really loved about it, but I just didn't find my way with it at that point mm-hmm. anymore. And, you know, and it was more the idea of, well, I kind of know what my path is that I'm on right now. And do I still want to go there? And the answer at very best was maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just recognized I needed distance for myself to really see, okay, is there change that I want in my life, and how do I want to approach it? So I was lucky enough to be able to take the better part of a year off. And I did quit my job. I didn't want the pressure of needing to go back at a certain time. And I was lucky that I was also, I mean, let's be real, on a financial level, able to do that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. that's also not a given.
Wait, it's not like in the movies?
Yeah. No, no.
Where you just quit and have a fabulous apartment in New York?
No.
With like five rooms and whatever?
No, that is not... That's usually not the reality, is it now? So I was really lucky to be able to do that. And I started traveling, and I did really just focus on, you know, enjoying the moment. And what I know now, looking back on it, you know, I was starting to experiment more with mindfulness and to gain more experience in that. What does it mean for me being in the present, really being in a situation versus, you know, thinking about the past or the future? Yeah, I did that for a really long time, just really enjoying the different places that I visited. But of course, along that journey, I also started to think about, okay, well, what do I want to do when I get back? Because for me, it was part of this discovery that I wanted to be on. And I just got more and more impulses from my environment, from people that I met, that put me in a different mindset, or at the very least gave me a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to learn more about myself. I actually started being coached to really get more in touch with my patterns of behavior, my belief systems, my values, really explore those to then understand what do I really want and where do I want to go. And I mean, this is, you can already tell by probably the length of this story that this didn't happen overnight. Was quite the process, which
it's probably also like a lot of back and forth as well, right? Like it's mm-hmm. not like I want this goal and this is what I'm focused on, because you don't really know the goal.
Yeah.
It's probably just a feeling you have, right? Where it's kind mm-hmm. of like, oh, there's something in me and it's stirring.
Yeah,
like that's what I had for myself at least. And then you kind of have like fallbacks where you're like, oh no, Let's go back to my old life,
oh,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. You're ready.
Right? Like it's a push and pull.
Yeah, totally. You're dipping into a lot of great coaching topics on that because, yeah, because that's absolutely what happens. It's all, that's the nature of a process, right? So like we at the very least know there's change that I want to have happen, or there's something that I'm not really satisfied with and I want to change that, or at least understand it better. And so we start going on this journey and really dipping into these different areas of our lives to better understand. And it's not always a comfortable process. It can be challenging, but in the end, that better understanding for yourself is so invaluable because you're learning, you get to go to a place where you can not necessarily predict your own reactions and actions all the time. That's not necessarily what it's about, but that understanding of situations, people, you know, environments that kind of are good for us or not good for us. Mm-hmm. So for me, in my process, I really learned that elements that are really important to me that have to also do with my strengths and with my passions, I wanted to find those in my job as well. So I decided to shift, my career. And when I came back from my travels back to Germany, back to Frankfurt, I started looking at different paths, different ways that I could get into coaching, which is what I do now. And that whole process of, you know, learning about how to coach, how that works, that's been a transformation in and on its own. Which mm-hmm. it continues to be, because as I learn to help people to really get in touch with themselves, I need to continue to be really in touch with myself.
Yeah.
And in...
which is so rewarding as well, right? Because you're learning from the person you're coaching, and you've coached me, which is like, it was transformational, if I might say so. But what I loved about the whole coaching thing, because I've been to therapy sessions and everything, just the way you guys work, you know, I mean, it really felt, because I used to do a lot of sports when I was younger, and I really felt like having a coach on a team, you know, like actually someone rooting for you, wanting to get you on the field rather than have you sit on the bench. But in order for you to be able to help me do that, you actually need to like figure out who I am and then learn more about your skills as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's, for me as a coach, the main thing is always the connection with the person that I'm coaching. And that just means that I'm present with them in the moment and guiding them. And I love that analogy, you know, being the coach, like also in a sports sense, you know, your goal is for your player, for your team member, to do really well, to be the best, in this analogy, athlete that they can be. And you support them through that process. And, you know, if we're staying in visuals there as well, which I always find really helpful, there's this visual of, you know, the coach is, you're walking through the woods with your client and you're walking at the same pace, at the same level with them. You know, you're guiding them through the process to a certain extent, but really it's all about being there and then helping shift perspective. So if there's somebody, you know, walking that's always looking down and then only sees, you know, the wilting leaves on the ground, then it's the coach's job to also say, well, have you thought about maybe looking up? You know, have you thought about maybe looking to your left or to your right? And yeah, of course, like in order to even do that, you kind of need to let go of your own stuff, you know? You need to like shake that off and just in order to be there for that person. So that is a continuous learning process for me, which I enjoy so much. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What I find very interesting as well is, as you already said, transformation is change. It's a form of change, but it's like a long lasting one. It's not what you said at the beginning, just something that happens like that. Mm-hmm. And you actually need to work on and also continue working on. Why do you think it's, because like you said at the beginning, you were like, best answer I had was maybe I want to quit, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. And I feel, also speaking for myself and probably like a lot of people listening right now, that maybe comes up a lot. Like we all have these thoughts, I want to quit my job, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, or I don't know, I should quit, I don't know, the gym.
Yeah.
You know, but like, whatever. Yeah. Or maybe I want to bleach my hair. I don't care. But why do you think it always stays at this maybe point for so long? And What do you think is like something people can start doing to make that maybe shift, or maybe even see what that maybe actually means?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think it also comes back to a lot of conditioning that we've had in you know, our lives over the decades. You know, since we're small children, we have our environment, people in our lives that influence us with their belief systems as well. Mm-hmm. So everything kind of really always comes back to that point of reflection. And, you know, I think a maybe is a good place to start, because it shows you that it's not a definite yes, mm-hmm. or a definite no, you know, whatever the question might be. Do I want to leave my job? Yes or no? You know, like if it's a maybe, it's something also worth looking at. And maybe even beyond that, what I always say is, if certain people, certain situations, certain things in your life cause a really strong reaction within you, now that doesn't necessarily mean that you lash out at someone or something, mm-hmm. but it means that you feel something happening in you. So that, of course, happens on the positive side of things as well, right? Like, we have people in our lives that just give us so much energy, and we just feel so positive when we've spent time with them, or things that we do, you know, music that we listen to. Think about your favorite song comes on, you know, like, I definitely am a sing-along and start dancing kind of gal.
Absolutely. I'm full on with you, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, those are things that really affect us. And if we start doing that, if we start looking at what's coming up and what, you know, start questioning maybe what's behind that, that really helps us gain a better understanding. And we can do that in a lot of different ways, but I think in general, that term reflection and that term of like, or that aspect of looking inwards and to really see, you know, what is this and why is this happening? That's that process that we need to kind of dip into a little bit to better understand ourselves, and then turn that maybe into a yes or no, or perhaps it floats around as a maybe for a little bit longer until we figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And that's when what you call a moment of realization happens, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Because I have these moments of realization a lot, mm-hmm. probably like 4 to 5 times a day.
Nice. Very reflective of you.
Yes, yes. It's very productive, not exhausting at all. Yeah. Because I know a lot of people who are like getting into, this sounds so weird, but like into reflecting, mm-hmm. right? Like they're trying to meditate, they're trying to dance, they try to write, yeah. they try to sing. Just a lot of people also say for them, it's really awesome to go out for a run or do some kind of sports, just ride the bike without music or mm-hmm. a podcast. And then you have that shift and you notice something's happening in your body. Like for me, I can always feel it right in the middle of my stomach. Mm. Like something's turning. I can really feel this like pull either down or the push upwards. Mm. Something needs to come out. Something is really blocking me or whatever. But when you have that moment of realization, yes, it's not a maybe anymore. It's a yes or a no. I feel, at least also speaking for me, maybe some of the listeners as well, like, what do you do? Mm. You know, now you kind of have that answer and then this change happens or it needs to happen in a way.
Yeah.
And I feel that's when it gets really scary, because with the other thing, with just the yes or no answer, sometimes it's not spoken, you know, it's like verbally communicated. So it's not real in that sense. But then if you notice, okay, you need to change something, I feel there's an anxiety that comes up as well, because you're stepping into something new, unknown, or whatever.
Yeah.
So this like vulnerability comes up.
That's such a good point. And absolutely, you've hit some really good points there. I think the main one is again, that word process. Mm-hmm. So having a moment of realization that is just essentially that's the very beginning of something new. And yes, change is scary / terrifying, you know, all of the emotions. There's a lot that comes up for us, right? Because,
oh yeah,
you know, a lot of times the situations that we find ourselves in, they're comfortable, because at the very least they're known to us, they're predictable. And when we do go into that space of change, we do always, always, sorry, listeners, but we always need to step through fear. We have to.
Yeah.
There's always, yeah. There's no way around it. That's what we all need to face. We need to face a fear. We need to step through it. We need to have that courage to step through it and move into that space of unknown in order for change to happen. It is part of the necessary process. And that aspect of vulnerability is so key in that. And I'm sure many have heard of Brené Brown, who's, you know, it's her life's work dealing with vulnerability and examining it. And
she's awesome.
Yeah, some really great perspectives there. And for anyone who hasn't listened to her podcast that she recently actually started, there's loads of really fun episodes, really insightful episodes, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing essentially that she talks about when it comes to vulnerability is there are these three aspects to it that I just always kind of keep reminding myself of. And you need an element of courage, you know. And again, why are we talking about vulnerability? Vulnerability means that we are able to, yeah, really pursue change because we're putting it out there. We're putting ourselves out there. We're ready for something new, something that we haven't done before. And so we need that courage to be imperfect.
Oh, yeah.
That's because a good one. Doing something new, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Doing something new for the first time, we're probably not going to be perfect at it. It is, and that's terrifying for a lot of us, you know, because that again brings up unknown things. She also talks about compassion to be kind, and that's mainly to yourself first and foremost, and then onto others, of course, as well. And she also talks about connection again to yourself and others, and with what we're talking about today, and with what I do with coaching. I really have that perspective on the connection to self first and foremost, because we've all become so disconnected just through life, through what we experience. We're taught to look outwards, to compare, you know, and that keeps us from looking in.
Which is ironic, kind of, right? Because I feel there's also so much, especially on social media, but there are so many magazines out there as well, where it's always about self-love.
Yeah.
So actually there's like a lot of stuff portrayed out there into the world of like, be mindful, take care of yourself, do this, 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 go to bed at this time, wake up at this time, right? So it's actually, there's like a lot coming from the outside being like, this is what you need to do to love yourself. Mm-hmm. But then again, I at least feel, maybe some of the listeners as well, feel like pressured, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember when like COVID happened and everyone was just like, okay, this is the time for self-love. This is the time to have a healthy mindset and, I don't know, learn a new language, start working out in the morning, getting up at 5 a.m., doing that yoga session, meditating for an hour, going vegan, you know?
No pressure though, it's right?
You got this. You got this. And I, honestly, like, I have my little routines I do, but I felt pressured. It's like, oh my God, everybody's doing something new. Everybody's focusing on themselves. And there was so much anxiety coming up for me all of a sudden, which I wasn't used to change something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, I feel like changing yourself and self-love is a trend, kind of. It's a lifestyle now.
Oh,
if
boy,
I'm just going to, like, point that. But I feel there's, like you say, so much pressure on it as well, because you start comparing yourself, which isn't actually the point of the whole thing.
Exactly. How fascinating, right? Like, the message of self-love causes you to compare. Great. Oh, five steps back. No, I think, again, you know, like, it comes back to, I mean, I always say with everything that we approach, especially when we're in a process of change, a process of transformation, is we need to have kindness and compassion for ourselves first and foremost. And that is especially true for the process itself. It's not that clear line, you know. We wish it was that easy. We all wish, I think, it was that easy that we say, okay, now I've worked on defining my goal. I mean, that's a process in and of itself, right? This is what I want to change. This is where I want to go. Done that. Step A, check. And then we're like, okay, great. I know where I'm going. It's going to be the quickest, easiest, most efficient way, a straight line from A to B. Mm-hmm. And again, sorry to burst the bubble there, but it's more of like this curvy line that sometimes has a loop backwards. And then, you know, you find yourself like a bit back and then you move forward. Sometimes you have leaps in the process where you really just like jump, you know, over several steps and things like that. But it's just the nature of it, because we're very complex as human beings, you know, and we're not isolated in the sense of that we don't have anything influencing us around us. I mean, that's happening every single day, every second. And we just always kind of need to find our way back to ourselves and center ourselves. And I mean, yes, while it is trending right now with that whole, yeah, well-being, wellness area, you know, it is, there's a lot of truth in it. I mean, and there are many great things that are suggested out there, but I think it's always important to look back and see, what's my why? Why am I doing this? Why do I want to integrate meditation into my life? Why do I want to integrate yoga or another fitness aspect?
Yeah.
Am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it so I can, you know, talk to people about it, so that I can, I don't know, fit in? That's a really interesting area as well, fitting in. You know, we as humans are actually genetically programmed to fit in. You know, if we look back to caveman times and yeah, I mean, it's really, it goes back really far, because if we didn't fit into a tribe, we were, you know, seriously exposed to the elements and we were facing death, you know? And like nowadays, it's a bit different. We have a lot more wiggle room. But still, you know, we're programmed to want to fit in, to try to fit in, so.
Absolutely. And I think what's also really important is that my way is not going to be somebody else's way, or your path isn't going to be the same path as someone else's, right? Like, I think that's why also the comparison is so difficult, because what I really learned, especially like reading a few mindful books or whatever, is this might have worked for the person, like the author writing this book, but she or he is offering tools that I might use for myself and pull out, right?
Yeah.
And even sometimes if I just go back to these books or podcasts or audiobooks or quotes or whatever, depending on where I am in life, I feel like I learned something new, or I see a different tool that works for this situation.
Yeah.
And I think, not that like what you said, not that we're only like tribal people, but we're so impatient nowadays as well. You know, like everything, like, I am super impatient. And I was like, it needs to happen now. Why is it napping? Like, I'm that person that you talked about. Like, I want to be the butterfly before the caterpillar is even alive, you know?
Oh, that's a beautiful way of putting that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to crawl on the floor or on the tree. I want to fly.
Yeah, exactly. Get me there right now.
Yeah. Let me be colorful. Yeah. So I think this impatience and the thought of getting there.
Yeah.
And that really helped me with the coaching you and I did, is like, what the hell is the there?
Yeah.
You know, there is no there. Like, it's always going to change. It's always a movement. It's dynamic. It's flowy. And yeah, you just kind of need to recognize when transformation even sets in, because I've had so many moments in my life where I'm like, yeah, I feel like changing something. I really want this. But then I actually kind of didn't. Like, I just wanted to stay in the routines and date weird people, you know, and have unhealthy habits with friends and family that just tore me down, or weird self-belief systems, or what I think of myself, right? And self-worth and all that stuff. And I think, yeah, I don't know, like, even for you, like, when did you recognize that the transformation needed to happen?
Yeah. I think one thing that I want to pick up on, you know, what you were talking about before answering the question. was, you know, this aspect of, you know, we have unhealthy patterns. We have things that we do. One, usually, like, again, they're easier for us because they're known versus something new. And again, looking at that aspect of compassion and kindness with yourself, every pattern that we have had a positive purpose at one point. Mm-hmm. So that really helped me recognize, well, I guess, yeah, recognize that and be really kind with myself when old patterns of behavior come in. Mm-hmm. They're coping mechanisms in a way. Usually they come from, you know, our childhood and we didn't know any better, you know? So if you saw a kid that does something that's not the healthiest or best approach to something, you know, you would nowadays, you know, probably you'd be kind to that child and explain, you know, what the better approach might be. But back then when we started forming unhealthy patterns, they were serving a purpose and they were good for us in that moment. They were doing something good.
But also the people putting these on us, if you want to put it like that, it wasn't a bad, they didn't have like bad feelings towards it or thoughts with it, right? Everyone's always doing their best and trying to figuring it out because there's not a book of life, how to, you know? So I think that's also something you need to like always have in your mind at one point. It's not like this was done to me. Yeah. It's like somebody tried to take care of you at one point and they did their best in whatever way possible for them.
And I mean, of course, a big group of people to leave out of that are sociopaths, you know, pedophiles, rapists, murderers.
Touche.
They probably weren't thinking this is something good for the other person. Or maybe they were. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, so who knows? But yeah, no, it is. It's something, you know, that idea of this pattern had a good origin. You know, like it was meant to do good for me. It helps kind of, again, shift perspective a little bit. But absolutely. Coming back to your question, you know, like recognizing transformation and, you know, I think for me, the one aspect and one kind of truth that I know for myself is that we as humans are not meant to stop growing ever. We're meant to constantly be evolving. And now the kind of caveat on that is we need to find that balance between evolving, transforming, but also being content and present in the here and now. Because yes, we have goals that we want to achieve. Yes, we have things that we want to change. We want to transform in certain aspects in our life. But we also need to have that deep connection to ourselves in the here and now. Because if we don't do that, then we're constantly chasing. And then, you know, that doesn't ever bring you to a final destination.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know what you're chasing. I feel like a lot of people have that thought of just like, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
You don't even know what happy or what you say, you know, like being content. Like, what does that even mean? Like, probably everybody needs to define that for themselves before you being able to go down that path, right?
Absolutely. And in coaching, you know, we have this golden rule of never assume anything. So when somebody, when somebody says, I want to feel happy, what does happy mean to you? How does it feel? How will you know that you're happy? We're all individuals with different experiences that shape our lives, that shape our personality, that have brought us to the point where we're at now. And it really is, we're individuals and, you know, my truth is not going to be your truth. My experience is not going to have been your experience, even if we have been in the same room at the same time, looking at the same thing. We're still experiencing something different, you know?
Totally.
Because we are who we are. And I think to this point of transformation, you know, and how do you recognize it? How do you, you know, how do you feel it? You know, and it's an internal process, right? Mm-hmm. You will feel it. You will feel something changing in your body. And I do kind of want to give the listeners a few little tips on how you can get that connection a bit better to yourself. Yeah. But I mean, that is kind of that thing, you know, just look out for how you're feeling. You know, are you feeling differently? Are you, you know, has your perspective maybe changed on something?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something doesn't upset you anymore that used to upset you. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe something new upsets you now that didn't used to upset you before. But like, that can happen. But you know, it's,
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're not growing, that we're not changing, but it just means we now have a different perspective on something or a different perception on and awareness of it. And I think with that, you know, we already talked about reflection quite a lot. And I do think that it's really important for people to start doing that more on the day-to-day. And so one tip that I always give is to start journaling. You know, especially like we mentioned, you know, on those moments that really cause a reaction or cause emotion for you to come up throughout the day, throughout the week. Mm-hmm. But just in general, you know, like, how are you feeling today? What was a really great moment? What were some things that you're grateful for? What were things that, yeah, caused a reaction in you? What was that reaction? What would mm-hmm. you do differently if you were able to go back? Maybe nothing. But most importantly, what is that situation trying to tell you, or what has it taught you?
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't mean that we have to go into like over analysis in every single aspect of our lives, because then all we do is overanalyze, and that we don't want to do that. But like, yeah, because we can get caught in that cycle real quick.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Never heard of this before. But you know, it is those moments that everybody has them, you know, that cause strong reactions within us. So have a look at those and always remember that there are people out there that professionally help in this aspect. I mean, one profession is coaching with what I do to help people through a process of change. There are, of course, psychologists as well, you know, when there are issues that have, you know, a bit more, you know, necessity to look into deeper analysis of something and, you know, need a professional to really guide them through that process. And there are things, mm-hmm. you know, in order to get into that reflective state, how can we be more reflective with ourselves? I don't want to sound cliche or trendy or whatever, but meditation is huge with that. Because what mm-hmm. meditation does is it you know, the whole idea behind it is to get us into this space of being just in the here and now. And if meditation sounds like a scary word to us because we think, you know, oh my gosh, I can't sit there for like an hour just, you know, breathing, thinking of nothing. That's a huge yeah. misconception of what meditation is.
Or just like having to sit upright the entire time.
Yeah.
I remember that was like my excuse at the beginning. Yeah. It's like, I can't do that. That hurts my back.
Exactly. Also, another great point. We are wonderful at finding excuses for ourselves.
Yeah.
We as humans. Yeah. So, but I mean, there's so many wonderful apps out there now that provide guided meditations that, you know, I use Headspace quite a lot. I like Calm as well. And
Waking Up, I use Waking that one up. As well. It's awesome. Or just on YouTube, you know,
yeah.
you can find so many great guided meditations. Some are even, like I used to have really bad problems sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't insomnia, but just like falling asleep because my mind wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And there are a few people, which I can put into our description here mm-hmm. of the podcast if you guys want to, who really focus on sleep meditation,
yeah.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's relaxing your entire body, your brain, yeah. and being in the present, as you say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also, so I know for Headspace, this is definitely the case. They also explain the process of meditation. You know, they talk about when you're sitting there, you know, you just want to focus on your breath to connect to the here and now. And you know, thoughts are always going to come. And the process of meditation is just to learn to let them float past and to not start analyzing and placing value on them. And also placing value on ourselves, you know, like, ugh, you know, whatever I am, XYZ negative thought, you know, because I can't keep mm-hmm. thoughts out of my mind. That's, you know, mm-hmm. the very kind of extreme of it where some of us tend to go sometimes. And, you know, and I think For me, I always like to talk about breath work as well, because that, you know, if meditation sounds scary to us, breath work is a really nice way to kind of get into it. And you and I have done quite a bit of breath work just to help connect to the moment. And all we do there is like we focus on our breath, the air going in our nose, out through our mouths, you know, feeling where the air is flowing. Maybe placing our hands on our hearts or on our stomachs to connect to those different areas of our body. And yeah, connect and just be there for a few moments. Just focusing on that. And it doesn't need to be really long. Sometimes even 5 minutes are already really helpful. One of my mentors in coaching, she said she used to start, when she started meditating and using breath work to help herself be more grounded throughout the day, she did it while the kettle was on, boiling water for tea. So, you know, just those few moments, she would stand there, she would close her eyes, and she would just focus on the air going in and out of her nose. That was it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so simple. And you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I sometimes do it, like, when I wait for the subway or the bus, or you're, like, waiting in line for your coffee or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a really powerful thing. Yeah, it's super portable. No equipment needed. Yeah. But before I started experimenting with breath work, I guess. Experimenting with breath work, it sounds so dangerous. No, but before
because we don't breathe.
We don't breathe,
usually,
right?
You know. So
well, I mean we really don't breathe consciously, do we? I mean, it's a great thing that we don't have to focus on it all the time. But when we do, one thing that I also really, really love is the power of a really good exhale through the mouth.
With sound.
Yeah, with sound. Just let it all out.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are moments.
Sometimes, blah.
There's nothing else that's going to help. And you just kind of like need to like,
Oh, yeah.
With all the voice cracking. All
and honestly,
of it.
You just need to let it out. Like, everything. Like, that's, again, it's not about the sound being perfect, you know? We're not opera singers, and I'm just like, sometimes, like, even I have these really grungy old man sounds coming out of me, you know? I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? Or, like, I sound like a little grizzly bear or a little dinosaur sometimes, you know? It's, like, really squeaky and like, it's all there. It's all part of
all
who you are.
In there.
Yeah. But that also brings me to like another thought. And I would love to hear your opinion on that, which is you were talking about being kind to yourself and using meditation or breath work or writing, you know, to explore these negative thoughts that come up or just thoughts that are blocking your mind and your day basically as well. Why do you feel... And maybe this is just like, this is a statement I'm just putting out there. And if you don't agree, please feel free to just, you know, go at that. But I feel that it's really, really hard for us women to be kind to ourselves. I have a lot of male friends as well who overanalyze a lot of the stuff. But I always feel it's like in a different relation. Why do you feel maybe, or do you even feel that we women... we have an issue being kind to ourselves?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good point. And I think, of course, these are very general statements, right? Because again, we're all individuals, but on average,
we all have feelings.
Yeah. But definitely on average, women have more of an issue with it. And the reason behind it is experiences, especially in the Western world. You know, I can't speak for Eastern cultures because I haven't grown up there, I haven't lived there, but we have things that we get kind of drilled into our minds since we were really small. And, you know, we develop these patterns of behavior, these belief systems that are really negative towards us, you know. I'm trying to think of a really prominent one, but yeah, a woman always needing to put herself in second place to a man, to her children, to her family, that if we say, you know what, like, I've done a really great job at this, I deserve the raise, I deserve the promotion, that that's a really negative thing, that that's like, oh my God, how dare she, you know, who does she think she is, you know? And like, but it's that recognition, you know, first of all, that we recognize achievement within ourselves, that we are proud of ourselves and what we do. That's really something that we actively need to work on. We're not taught that on a societal level. And oftentimes we're also not taught that in our families. Again, not because anybody had an ill intent, but this is kind of what society has projected onto us. And I think there's just so much exploration that we can and probably also need to do around these topics, because, you know, we quickly think if somebody expresses their value or their worth, their perceived value and perceived worth, that that's an ego thing. Or if somebody says, I need time for myself, I need space for myself, that we're being selfish. And it really is, this is all, you know, these are all messages that we've been almost brainwashed with, because it's not, that's not the case. You know, I love the analogy of the oxygen mask in an airplane. You need to put that oxygen mask on yourself before you help anyone else. So you need to, you know, be with yourself, recognize what you need, give that to yourself before you can help anyone else.
And I love that.
And I think that's also, I mean, sure, it's been in an airplane pamphlet every time that we've been on an airplane. You know, a lot of us probably a lot of time in our lives, but we've never really, I didn't used to think about that, you know, that that's really another perspective onto how I need to take care of myself, onto this whole idea of self-care and self-love. But it is difficult, definitely, for all parties. And again, it comes back, and by all parties, I mean men, women, however you identify as. It's, you know, we have a hard time because we are taught to compare. We're taught to kind of play it safe in most cases, again, women more so than men, through history, through society. And it's something that we, at the very least, kind of need to have a look at and see, is this true for me? Is this what I want my truth to be? And then we can always decide. It's all about just being conscious and making choices, because we always have a choice to make.
Really like hit home my heart.
I'm glad.
I feel like goosebumps everywhere.
Oh my God, Marina. Yeah.
But because I just looked at the time and I could like go on and on. And it's just like time flies. Look at us. We're just going to do another few episodes with you.
Oh, honestly. I love it.
This isn't your first and last one.
Huh? I love it.
But we do have this question. Well, it's not really a question. It's kind of like a statement question towards you that we want to ask all of our guests on this podcast, which is, if there's a message you could bring out to all the women listening right now, being part of the Yugo Sisters platform, as you will, what would that message be?
That's a beautiful question. Yeah, I think if it's one message, I think it's be kind to yourself. You know, I think we can all be more kind to ourselves and use that as our starting off point instead of judgment. So, yeah, I think that would be it with all the things that come with it. Kindness, compassion, love towards ourselves. I also, you know, that statement, I'm sure many of you have heard it before, that, you know, speak to yourself as you would speak to your best friend. That one.
Yeah.
Hits home quite a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
You can hear it because I'm not really talking right now. Oh, Verena, this was awesome. Thank you so, so much for coming to our pod, being our first guest ever on the Yugo Sisters podcast, going on this adventure, this little journey with us. And It was like for me, I mean, I love coaching with you. Obviously, we're kind of like family because, as we said, we grew up with each other and been through everything.
Quite a few little things here and there.
Yes, little bumps. Yes. No, but like if you want to learn more about Verena or even want to go take a coaching class with Verena, which I highly recommend. And Verena has this awesome, how long is it? Like the get to know, the getting to know
Oh, this the
appointment you can do.
discovery call. Yeah, we always start with that. I mean, I think it's key because, it's not just about, like, do I have time for a new client, let's say, but it's mainly about, like, is it a fit, right? Like, do you want to talk to me about, let's face it, some uncomfortable stuff, are you ready for that process? Do you want to have that process go, forward with me? And so I always have this discovery call that's at least 15 minutes to half an hour where we just talk about the process of coaching, what they can expect, and really also what's brought them to coaching, what do they want to work on. And actually, I love that with the whole lockdown thing, this thing, right? Air quotes again. But that, that we're all in a way forced to be a bit more digital with things. So it's been actually really great. I've made most experiences with the clients over the last 6 months. It's all been digital, but it's still been really fruitful process for everyone involved. So doesn't need to be restricted to Frankfurt. So yeah, if you're interested, I'm sure Nat's going to put some details in below and we can just have a chat and see what and if this whole coaching thing is for you.
Absolutely. I highly recommend it. Honestly, I've worked on myself in a lot of different ways. And yeah, I don't know, but it's so easy talking to you. I don't know how it feels for you listeners right now, but Verena is such an open-hearted person. She's so chill but also challenging at the same time, but you always feel safe with her. So if you are ready and you feel that maybe come up in you, or you have that like weird feeling, like I remember at one point for me, it was just like, oh, I feel something in my stomach and I don't know what it is, but it wants to come out. Like Kat was talking about this as well in the interview I did with her, that she had this like thing in her wanting to just burst out. She didn't know what it was, so she tried to repress it and then it just like burst even more. And you just like, yeah, as I said at the beginning, your coach, she wants to see your players on the field and not on the bench. And you put them on the bench again if they're hurt or whatever, right? Like it's not just.
It's a very kind process. No, but it is. I'm so glad that that's your reflection on the process with me. That's what I strive for, to first and foremost have people feel comfortable and safe in that environment. And yeah.
Yeah, well, if you want to know more about Verena, you can also follow her on Instagram. It's at Zeip, Zeipp Coaching, right?
Correct.
Awesome. Follow her there. She does these stories as well, which are awesome. You do, I went like twice or whatever a week on specific little topics. So yeah, just check it out. You can get a feel for her. She's amazing. Also, her website is www.zeipcoaching.com,
Correct
right?
again, yes.
But I will put all of this information in the description so you can just grab that immediately. And yeah, thank you so much, Farina, for doing this with us.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you on the podcast. And obviously, this, as I said, will not be the last time you and I chat about transformation. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.